Finally, I want to play a clip from a conversation with writer Sandra Singh Lowe. She spoke last week on the NPR National Call-In Show Talk of the Nation about a provocative piece she had written for The Atlantic about the heavy financial and emotional cost of caring for her elderly father and stepmother. It was a pretty sobering conversation, which is what you might expect since her piece was subtitled, "Why Caring for My Aging Father Has Me Wishing He Would Die." And then Yvonne called in.
In 2000, when my mother's heart suddenly stopped, and I took care of her for 10 years, and that was total care. That means bathing, making all of her meals, changing her diapers. I also work in long-term care. I'm a registered nurse. And on top of that, my youngest daughter gave birth to a child that she really couldn't take care of herself. So I was doing, all of that.
Oh, my God.
And I got to tell you, there were times when I thought I was going to lose it. I could not. I felt so angry, and I'm ashamed of that.
Let me just say that I recognize that their stories are not the whole story. I just attended a beautiful funeral service for the father of a friend of mine, and one of the most powerful parts of the day, along with funny and heartwarming remembrances of the father, was the acknowledgement of my friend and her family for making her dad so much a part of their lives. At the funeral, my friend's husband told the story of how his wife moved her father into their home bit by bit. A piece of furniture would show up here, a suitcase there, until guess what? There was nothing left for her father to do but get comfortable and settle in. I have another friend who took an open-ended leave from her job and moved her three young children back to her childhood home and persuaded her husband to commute to his job in another city in order to see her mother through a serious illness and to help run her mother's small business until her mom could get back on her feet. And when I marveled at what she'd taken on, she told me, "When my mom's not okay, I'm not okay." Can I just tell you, that is real. But the story Sandra Singh Lowe tells in The Atlantic is also real. Her father was once so frugal, some might say mean and cheap, that he refused to turn on the heat or celebrate Christmas. But when he became infirm in his 80s, along with his dementia-suffering second wife, Sandra and her siblings saw no choice but to arrange for care topping $10,000 a month. That's on top of her father's health crises, daily phone calls demanding Viagra, and the stepmother's erratic and sometimes violent behavior. All of which leaves Sandra afraid that the final years of her father's life will leave her with nothing left to take care of herself or provide for her own children. The guilt, the anger, and the fear, this is not just her story. What's behind that fear? Demographic reality. People over the age of 85 are the country's fastest growing group, and their numbers are projected to double by the year 2035. And Singh Lowe pointed out the next wave is coming. 77 million of the youngest baby boomers will be turning 70 before the end of this decade. This is in part what underlies the churning in Washington and on the campaign trail about Medicare, Medicaid, and so-called Obamacare and Romney Care. The idea that you could do everything, quote unquote, right, save money, stay out of trouble, educate yourself and your kids, and you can still end up in a precarious and even perhaps degrading condition. But good luck trying to figure out how what they're talking about out there connects to your life or Sandra's life or her dad's or the caller Yvonne's life and her mom's. Increasingly, it seems our political leaders are talking among themselves, and we are left to commiserate and cry with each other. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.